Today's special guest on the Legends of Greyhound Hockey, a gentleman who was orchestrated the Memorial Cup Championship here in Sault Ste. Marie. I'd like to welcome from Oshawa, Ontario, Sherry Basson. Sherry, welcome.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Are you kidding? I get such fond memories there.
Well, Sherry, boy, I'll tell you, what a career you have created. 36 years in the Ontario Hockey League as a general manager, a team owner, and as a coach, and you've turned around franchises in the league, won 5 Robertson Cup trophies, and appeared 6 Memorial Cups, and your only victory was in Sault Ste. Marie. Talk a little bit about your career.
Well, I mean, it's been fun, you know. I mean, I grew up in a northern Saskatchewan small town of 400 people, so, you know, if you didn't play hockey and curl, you died of boredom. So, you know, I got involved in hockey, and I was lucky enough that my parents were very strong on education, so I got some formal education, even though I know a lot of people with formal education, I don't think are that educated, and I know a lot of people without any formal education, pretty educated, but it just gives you a better chance in life. So, and always had an interest in hockey, and then I got a chance to coach minor hockey and had some success and won some championships, and then I got into Junior B coaching, which in those days there was only 8 junior, I live in Oshawa, you know, there was only 8 Junior B teams from Yonge Street in Toronto to Kingston. And we won there and stuff, and then somebody recommended me for the Oshawa Generals, and the rest is history. We had some real success there. And there's even 2 teams that went to the Memorial Cup right after I left. So my crew and I were involved in really about 8 teams that went to the Memorial Cup. So the sport's been very good to me, and I was fortunate enough, or whatever you can call it, that traded Eric Lindros in junior, and we won a Memorial Cup, and then I helped quarterback the trade for the Quebec Nordiques, and they went on to win a Stanley Cup, and Eric had such a wonderful career, shortened by concussion, of course, but it helped us win championships because he's such a good player, what we got in return. And I look back on all of it, and my stay in Sault Ste. Marie is so memorable, and people were so good to me, and the people I worked with, and I loved every minute of it, being in the Sioux, and how it came about. I had mentioned in those days, if I ran the Vancouver Canucks, I would have had an office in Toronto. You know, that's before all the communication advancement. And so they asked me and say, well, why don't you do the same thing? You can live in Oshawa and run the Sioux. We put Air Canada on the ice, and they gave me 35 round-trip tickets to fly to the Sioux. So I was there often and lots of times for a week at a time. But it was good because there's so much hockey down here where I would have been away from home anyway. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful memories for me.
Sure. I look back at your career. I mean, obviously, you started out in the Wexford Raiders, the 71-72, as a coach, and then moved on to the Generals. 11 years, I believe it was, as a Generals, and included in those 11 years was you were an assistant coach with the Canadian World Juniors, won Canada's first gold medal in 82-83 with them, and again in 84-85, again another gold medal as an assistant coach on that team.
I was with the Generals for 13 years, but I mean, I was really named to the first team Canada as associate general manager and director of player personnel. And Bob Strum and Dave King asked me to be an assistant coach, so it ended up that I was involved in all of it, and we hadn't been in the medals in 10 years. So it was unbelievable. I mean, I still have strong relationships with the players and staff on that team. And then we went to Europe. We hadn't won a medal in Europe, and a few years later, and Wendell Clark scored the goal. At, who, by the way, Wendell Clark was the first overall pick as a defenseman. Grew up in Kelvington, Saskatchewan, 70 miles from my hometown.
Right.
And he decided, I can remember, there's a whole story about that that your people might be interested in, is that I went to watch him play in Saskatoon, and we didn't have any kind of a staff like they got now for Team Canada. And I was general manager of that team and assistant coach. So I went to Saskatoon to see him play, and played 30-some minutes. The only time he got a rest is when he fought one of the tough guys in the other team. And I came out of there saying this guy would be a really good hell of a left winger. And I didn't say much about it, and I called the coach, Terry Simpson. And I said, you know, this guy would be a phenomenal left winger because he loves to run into people. He can skate. He's got that snapshot, wrist shot. But I didn't. And he said, you know, I kind of thought, you know, I kind of think you got a point there. We didn't say much. Then we're in training camp, and your people, your listeners would like to hear this, because, and the day or two before we're going to go, I stand up and say, I think Wendell Clark should go to left wing. And Hockey Canada, was CHA at the time, said, we can't do that. What do you mean we can't do that? He said, the NHL will never cooperate with us again and stuff. I said, they talked about, we got to vote on that. And I said, I believe in democracy. So I said, Simps, who was the head coach, how do you vote? He said, left wing. I vote left wing. That's 51% of the vote. We get 51%. Put him on left wing, and he never looked back. And a very special kid, too, because when we approached him about playing that way, I even went to him. He said, Mr. Bassett, I just want to play on the team. You tell me where I should play. I was just so, nowadays you'd have grandma and grandpa crying and the pet cat crying, and you'd have the agent going crazy and the parents upset, and he just accepted it and didn't, and was outstanding for us. So those are special moments in my career that I remember.
Sherry, it just amazes me, your vision for talent, your vision how to talk a player into coming and playing on your teams, probably one of your biggest traits that you had in your 36-year OHL career. You know, I look back, my question, you left the Oshawa Generals to come to the Sioux Greyhounds. Tell the Greyhound listeners what orchestrated that and why you come to the Sioux.
Well, actually, I'd been with the Generals for 13 years, and I was with Team Canada. I was interim commissioner for a year, and I was teaching at the university and college, and I just decided, John Humphreys offered me a lifetime contract, and I said, now, my wife said, hey, you're away all the time, like, let's take, and I said that too, it's time to take a break. And I just resigned from the Generals just to take a break for a bit. And the Sioux were going to lose their team. It was going to be sold
right
to Detroit. And they had a night to save the Greyhounds.
Yes.
Division coverage, and they called me to come in. And I went in, and, you know, I mean, people don't realize what this means to a community.
You're right.
Two Greyhounds are the Toronto Maple Leafs of Sault Ste. Marie, and they're, you know, and it's such a wonderful town, the people that live there and believe in the sport and love the game. And so, you know, I talked about that, and people, and so then the team was bought by locals, and they called me one day, said, hey, we'd like you to come in and interview for the job for general manager. And, this was a few months after I told my wife and I was going to take a break. And I went to the airport, your listeners would be, and they sent me a ticket. When I got to the airport, I said, look, I thought to myself, this is dishonorable taking this ticket and stuff because I'm not going to move to the Sioux. I mean, I'd love to live there, but I had too many interests here. And I called Jim McCauley, who's since passed away, who I love dearly, and I said, look, if this isn't honorable, I said, I'm not going to move to the Sioux. And he said, get on the damn plane. That's when they approached me about the idea. I said about, well, you can live there and come in here a lot. And that's when they approached me. And when they did, I thought, what the heck, you know? And they discussed it with me, and I said, hey, I came home, talked to my wife, and my friend George, who was instrumental in saving that team for Sault Ste. Marie, yep. George Chinook.
Yes, sir.
Instrumental in saving that team. Took it and chaired it and quarterbacked it and found, you know, instead of finding excuses, found solutions. And we became absolutely personal friends, and I'm proud of my relationship with him and his wife. And just wonderful people and dedicated to Sault Ste. Marie residents. And so through that, I developed all those relationships and with the people. And we built a team. Nobody thought we would trade Lindros to Oshawa. And I had the whole league send in competitive offers. But I myself knew all the players on the Oshawa Generals, knew the young guys.
Right.
I was part of drafting, and so. But anyway, that's another story that we can talk about, but that's how I ended up there. And it's a major part of my history that I remember, and I have such deep respect for that city and their residents and what they're all about. And the relationships I developed there are life-lasting.
You know what, Sherry, I remember you well. The fans, so honored to have you walk around the top of that old Memorial Gardens and chat with any fan that wanted to chat with you. You had time, and, you know, that's something that is somewhat lost in today's game. You were just you were a legend here in Sault Ste. Marie, and we thank you so much for coming up here. And we're going to move on and talk about the Greyhounds. I mean, boy, oh boy, you come in, you swung that Lindros trade. I mean, that set the Greyhounds up. What I see for many, many years. I mean, three state Memorial Cup appearances, and eventually that final in 92-93 when the Sioux run the Mem Cup. Talk a little about in the boardroom what went on to develop that team and moving on to the Memorial Cup championship.
Well, we had to look ahead, and we had, first of all, we had some great scouting staff. We had you know, and then people at that time, because they weren't winning, were talking about not coming, so I remember the first year of the draft that we ran there. We went to, I think it's 41 or 42 homes.
Wow.
To visit with people, because, you know, who knows who's going to be available. We never ever told people where we were going to take them, because you could end up being a liar. Because if you tell a kid you're definitely going to take him in the first round, and then Wayne Gretzky's there, we're taking Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Up being a liar. We always used to tell the people that if you're there when we want to pick you, we're going to take you. And obviously, it was obvious sometimes where they... But we wanted to find out the environment the boys were a product of. And so we didn't want to meet them somewhere in a hotel or something. We went right to their home, met their families, and told them about our program. Told them what we emphasize, and this business about not going to school when you're in the Sioux is absolutely ridiculous, because we weren't going to have any hockey bums, and education was a big part of our philosophy. And so we knew a lot of these kids personally, not only as hockey players, but we knew them as people. And that was a big factor with me when we drafted. You know, I wanted to know them as people, and, you know, do they love the game, not love to play? Right. And do they want to make other players better? And so we had some very successful drafts there. Plus those players I knew that we got from Oshawa. I thought we had a good chance of being pretty good. I didn't know it was going to be that fast.
Wow.
And so then when we went on to have that success, in the first Memorial Cup we went to, we were so young, we were just excited about being there. And then we learned that that's the toughest trophy to win because you're so emotional of the four rounds you go through. And so, but what I really remember in all this building is when we beat out the Oshawa Generals.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it because we had to pay extra money for security and police.
Yeah.
To protect the Lindros family and a lot of plainclothes people around and stuff because people were better. And I remember when we'd score goals against them, people came in diapers over their clothes, some people, and throwing soothers on the ice after we scored.
Yes.
I mean, that's how emotional it was. But the best story I'll never forget, I wish I could find out the name and who did it. But after we beat them out, Spanky, the pace went crazy for minutes. And then a particular person, the man climbed the wall and unveiled a professionally made sign in block letters. And it said, "You can go home now, Eric. It's a hockey town."
Yeah.
And the place went bananas. Now, remember, he couldn't put that sign up if we don't win.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So he took a chance of having it professionally made, and when we did win, it was such a momentous, and I really believe that was such a big thing for us. That was like our Memorial Cup, and we had a tough time getting our emotion back, which is why a big reason was, I'll never forget the third year, after we won the right to host it, and Peterborough was heavily favored to host it.
Yes.
We beat them four straight. So now we're automatically in the Memorial Cup. And we're playing Peterborough, not to discredit what they did. We're playing Peterborough for the Robertson Cup for the OHL Championship. And I remember Teddy saying to me, "These guys don't seem to be emotionally committed," meaning the way we always were. And I said, "I understand why. And neither are you." Because Teddy loved competition that meant something. And it didn't mean enough at the time, and I'm not making excuses. It didn't mean enough at the time because we were both in the Memorial Cup. And I'm not making, you know, as I said, I want to repeat myself, but that had a lot to do with, you know, and it is tough. I wasn't like, you know, I'm sitting there, we're playing for the, if you want to win it. But it wasn't a life or death like we'd been used to.
Wow.
And so those were such momentous moments. But more than that, I got a great story to tell you. We were in our, they hardly, the fans in 3 years hardly ever saw us lose at home. Hardly ever saw us lose.
Right.
And so this is in our third year. And we're on the road, and we lose two games on the road, close games. We had a whole bunch of guys injured or sick. And it was a Monday morning, I'll never forget, about 9:30 in the morning. I'm walking across the street from the rink to the coffee shop. And there's three or four fans waiting for me.
Yeah.
Because we just had a road trip where we lost a couple of games. And they were waiting because I was walking across in the middle of the street. "Hey, Sherry, get over here." They said to me, "What is wrong with our team?" I'll never forget that. They had, the community had adopted the team, and that was what's important. It was their team. It wasn't my team. It wasn't our, it's our team for the community. And I thought to myself, and here, what, because of the expectations that we had developed with the community,
wow.
We went on the road and lost a couple of games and put players injured and out of the lineup. And they wanted to know what was wrong with it. And I thought, that is something special for the community to adopt that team and feel that way about it.
Sherry, share a couple stories. I know you were instrumental. You brought in Danny Flynn and Ted Nolan was such a player's coach. All the guys I talked to, they just absolutely loved Ted Nolan as a coach. And Danny Flynn was brought in by yourself. Tell a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, when I took over, everybody wanted, there was articles in the paper and the radio. As a matter of fact, the paper ran, I think they did, I'd like to see it, something about clean sweep, like clean everybody out. And they didn't want Teddy Nolan. We had people there coming up to me and all. People signed a petition. And I said, they'd tell me, you know, about good coaches, bad coaches. So I called a meeting and asked people. I said, what's your definition of a bad coach? And nobody said anything about it. I said, what's your definition of a good coach? Nobody said anything about it. I said, let me give you my definition. We're going to give the coach a good team, and if he screws it up, we know he's not a great coach. Until we give him a good team, we're not doing anything. And Teddy, without question, was a player's coach. And he understood personalities, too. And he understood how to deal with them. And he was very insightful. And Danny Flynn was coach and manager of Belleville and got fired. And I'd watched Danny Flynn a lot. So he was head of technical hockey for, was it Nova Scotia, I think? Nova Scotia or New Brunswick. And so at one time before, and I knew he knew the game technically. And so I called him when he got fired. I knew him because he's right down the line, and I watched him coach, and I liked some of the things he did. And he was pretty beat up emotionally, and I said, hey, come on up here as associate head coach and assistant general manager.
Wow.
And he said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? Like, this is, you know, you're important to us, and I respect what you can do, and we talked about it. And he called me, said, I'm coming. And Teddy became more educated on the technical aspects of the game, and Danny became more of a player's coach, too. Got to understand Teddy's successes, and then they went on to work together in the NHL. So it was a match made in hockey heaven.
Yep.
And they worked closely together. We used to meet every Saturday afternoon when we had home games in my room in the hotel, and we'd go through everything, what's about it, how good this guy get, every time we met. And we had goals for every kid, and where do you think they are? Is he going to meet this? And you know, I always used to ask the question every time we had a player. I don't like the word can he play? Can we win with him? Was the question. Yeah. Can we win? That's the, you know, I want teams that can help, you know, that we can win championships with. And so we always ask that question, and at what point in time is this guy going to be able to lead us to winning and so forth. And we talked about that about every player constantly. And the goals we've set up for this kid, is he on schedule to meet it, and why is he going off, and what do we have to do to make him better, and
right,
what's the situation at home, and how's he doing as a person? And it turned out to be pretty successful for us.
You know what, Sherry, I all the time I come to the rink, I look at that picture hanging on the wall here now at the GFL Memorial Gardens of the celebration that went on here. I don't think there's ever been a celebration like that when the Hounds won that Memorial Cup. I see yourself, holding that cup up, the pitchers laying on the ice, the players across at the timeout bar, on top of the Zamboni, up and down Queen and Bay Street. Like, that'll never be repeated ever in a Memorial Cup championship. Talk a little bit about that celebration you remember.
For any Memorial Cup, Stanley Cup, I don't care what cup they're talking about. That community, you know, that was a special, and especially the fact, you got to remember, one, I mean, how we got there and what we built. I mean, It's only going to three Memorial Cups 3 years in a row. It's only been done two other times.
Right.
The history of hockey. History of junior hockey. And so, and how the, what was special about it is how the community adopted our team. I mean, and their loyalty and how they wanted to enjoy the moment. And our players, like, you know, we had players there that came in and the whole idea was to build something. And especially the year before, we lost a heartbreaker. We beat them in the round robin.
Yep.
And we outshot that team in Port 18-6, in Seattle, I mean. 18-6 in the third period. And not that I remember, okay? Zach Boyer.
Yep.
And a pass from Niedermeyer came off the bench. We had a 4-on-1 with Internuvo with 20 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And he came off the bench at the far end of the bench, and Niedermeyer hit him tape to tape and came in with 14.6 seconds to go in the game, not that I remember. And I saw that puck. I was standing right there looking in the glass, and it's like being harpooned.
Oh.
We were such a good team. And so now for us to come back and win it, and I remember George Schnuck coming to me after when everybody's crying and got tears in their eyes and so forth. Don't worry, we'll win it next year. I wanted to hit him. Like, that was no time to think of something like that. We were so emotional, but we laugh about it now. We did.
Yeah.
And so, and all the fans that came there. And so, this was a special moment for a community that had adopted the team. And like you say, it'll never, you know, I mean, you don't like to say never, but for it to be matched is unbelievable.
Yeah, no question. Sherry, you know, those are memories that will never be forgotten. You know, yourself, again, you moved on after the Hounds, and you moved on with the Quebec Nordiques. We don't want to waste a bunch of time on talking about that, but you orchestrated that trade. Lindros, again, didn't want to play in Quebec, and your patience and everything, and you orchestrated that. That set up the Quebec Nordiques. And then, you know, then you moved on to the Erie Otters, like, just amazingly, in 98-99. You moved on for, I think, 16 years you spent in the Erie Otters organization as a general manager, as an owner, and you built that team, like the players, Connor McDavid, DeBrinket. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, that's just amazing what you built there also.
We had one line that was McDavid, Connor Brown, and Burakovsky. And then we came back with DeBrinket and Strome, and I mean, we built that thing from scratch. Well, the reason I got involved with that team is the owner who lives near me came over to see me after I came back from the Nordiques and I had hip replacement surgery.
Right.
And he said, hey, I'd like you to come and run our team. And I said, listen, I've been interim commissioner for a year. I've been on the executive. I've been chairman of the board. I've coached in the league. I've managed in the league. I went on to him. I said, if I'm coming back, I'm coming back as an owner. And he said, I'll sell you 50%. And I bought 50% of the team. I wrote the contract out. So I have a law degree on a napkin.
Wow.
Wow. My rec room.
Wow.
And he signed it and I signed it. And that's how I got involved, and we went there. And then we had the, you know, Brad Boys and those guys too, where we went to the... And then the last team that went just a couple years ago, 19 players in a team I was pretty involved in. And even they traded for Fogley, and that player I convinced to come to Erie.
Wow.
Traded. That's the player that Kingston wanted, and then Fogley became MVP of the playoffs, and they went on to the Memorial Cup. So even though I wasn't there, I was pretty intricately involved in it.
It's just amazing the eye that you have for a player to develop, and how you inspire them by, you know, talking with them to, you know, I've heard the DeBrinket story. You know, a lot of people, he was too small, he was this and that, and I mean, he ripped it up in the Ontario Hockey League. He continues to rip it up in the National Hockey League. I mean, just amazing the eye that you had for players.
You know what was really noticeable, you know, I always used to say to my scouts, do you see or do you look? And so, here's an example. When DeBrinket was playing with McDavid, and a lot of reporters are saying, well, wait till McDavid leaves. What they didn't look at which I usually use the word luck, what they didn't look at was that Brinkett got 24 points in the 19 games that McDavid was injured.
Wow.
And nobody paid attention to that. And they said, oh, yeah, wait till the way the league goes. And I never said a word. I just said to our staff. And when people would write about that, I would say, those people really don't look at the facts. They just see. And so he's got that anticipation, that insight, get the shot. He's a wonderful young man, too. He went through two drafts.
Yeah, wow.
I went up there to see a prospect of ours. And this great story on that you're pin was in Sioux, Michigan. He was playing with Chicago High School.
Wow. Yep.
In the under-18 teams. And I went to their head coach, who played at Lake State at the time, and had a cup of coffee with Ottawa in the NHL. And good guy. He was athletic director and head coach of that high school in Chicago. And I said, do you got any players here? He said, I got a guy going on a full scholarship to the University of Mass. I said, really? I looked at him, 5'7", I don't want to watch this guy, but he played every position. He got a hat trick and 2 assists. And nobody's in the rink to watch him.
Wow.
And they played the next morning, and they played 20-minute periods in Sioux, Michigan.
Amazing.
And then so we were right there the next morning at 10 o'clock, 20-minute periods. And they were getting on a bus to play a team that night in Wisconsin. Like, it's because they had to do that in order to get games. So I watched them play, and the chief scout, one of my other guys, said to me, where are we going to go have something to eat? Because we just got up and went to the game. I said, I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going in that dressing room to eat with DeBrinket. I went to the coach, could I visit with him? And I'm still old-fashioned. And I said, here is NCAA, but how do you feel about playing in the OHL? Of course, at that time, we had McDavid. So I said, playing with McDavid.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And he said, I'll think about it. I said, give me your phone number. Wrote it down in the program. And we were on the phone quickly on Monday.
Wow.
I met with the parents, and they gave us his word that he'd come. So it's when we look at all those incidents, I'm telling you, I have such wonderful, deep feelings about Sault Ste. Marie to this day, and how I was treated there, and the respect I got, and I loved the people, and I loved their commitment to the team, loved our staff, I loved all you guys,
Thank you.
We had just such professional people doing play-by-player, still doing it, and all these different people that I worked with there, they were special to me because they're special people.
Yeah, well, Sherry, it's unfortunate, this COVID stuff. I mean, this is the 50th year of the Sioux Greyhounds, and I know the fans, it would be an absolute sellout. If we had a mic down at center ice here in the arena, we had open mic, and we had Sherry Bassin down there telling stories, this place would be full. You know it. And hopefully that maybe can happen when they get this all cleared up, this COVID thing, and maybe we can get you back up to the Sioux and tell those stories. They're so phenomenal. I could listen forever. Unfortunately, these interviews, we don't have enough time to talk all about it. But on behalf of the Greyhound fans, I really want to thank you for what you've done for Sault Ste. Marie and being involved up here. And I know I was just a little part of it, and I have super memories of yourself. Thank you so much on behalf of the fans.
Thank you for I loved it discussing with you, and I'd love to come back there. I love that place, and good on you, and may this be your best year ever. May you have a great new year.